Hello and welcome to the France 24 interview. Our guest today is Evgenia Karamurza. She is the wife of Vladimir Karamurza, a Russian opposition activist who was recently sentenced to 25 years in jail by a court in Moscow for high treason because of his outspoken criticism of the war in Ukraine. She joins us from Washington a few days before she is set to be the keynote speaker of the Geneva Summit for Human Rights and Democracy. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Evgenia, your husband has only been recently sentenced, but he's been detained for over a year right now. Do you have any contact with him? How is he doing?
My only contact with Vladimir since his arrest in April of last year has been through his lawyers. And I know that his spirit is and has always been very strong and remains strong. And it can be seen in all his articles that he writes from prison. And the last word his last statement before the so-called court shows him as someone of a very strong character and indeed a very strong spirit. His health, unfortunately, is not that good because he survived two poisoning attacks in the past by a team of FSB operatives, a team of assassins in the service of the Russian state. In 2015 and 2017, he was poisoned and was plunged into a coma, suffered from a multiple organ failure. As a result of those poisonings, he developed symptoms of polyneuropathy. And of course, the conditions in prison are not good. Russian penitentiary system is not a good place for a healthy person, let alone for someone who survived two poisoning attacks. His symptoms seem to be getting worse now that he's in detention and cannot do his regular intense physical exercises to keep these symptoms under control. He's also lost about 50 pounds in this last year. But as I said, his spirit is still strong.
Right. In his last statement to this court, I mean, the trial was held behind closed doors. However, his words were leaked. As you say, he didn't mince his word. He called the current regime a dictatorship. He condemned the quote-unquote criminal war in Ukraine. And obviously, to many people's mind, there is a parallel with Alexei Navalny. And probably some of the same questions for observers or for you as his wife. They both fiercely criticized Vladimir Putin. They were poisoned. They were living abroad. Nevertheless, they decided to come back despite probably knowing what would happen to them. How can you explain that both Navalny and your husband decided to go back knowing what would happen to them?
Well, I would not say that they lived abroad. It's true that our kids have been living abroad for many years, and we've always thought that this was a good thing to do for safety reasons. For Vladimir to be able to continue his work as he saw fit, he wanted his family to be safe, obviously. So our kids have been based in the US for many years. But Vladimir spent at least 50% of his time in Russia since forever. I don't know. Both times he was poisoned, he was in Russia. Both times, right after he was done with his intense physical rehabilitation in the United States, he went back to Russia and he continued his work there. He traveled across all the regions, working with grassroots movements, working with civil society representatives. He had a weekly show on Echo of Moscow radio station, and he made it a point to always try and be somewhere in Russia, not necessarily in Moscow, but somewhere in Russia for these weekly shows. So he made this show from Yekaterinburg, he made this show from St. Petersburg, from Russia, from Moscow. But the Alexei Navalny and for my husband and for many people in Russia, it is important to stay in the country and continue the fight. For Vladimir, he's always said that it was his opinion. He believed that he would not have the moral right to call on others to continue protesting while he himself were somewhere safe. Because people who protest in Russia nowadays, they face the impossible. They face the entire arsenal of Soviet-style repressive techniques that include punitive psychiatry, torture, physical violence, sexual violence, and prison terms going up to 15 years for just saying no to the war, or calling this war an aggressive war, or for calling this regime a regime of murderers. So Vladimir believed that it was his duty to stand with these people fighting the regime in Russia.
Right, but 25 years must have come as a shock for you, I assume. I mean, you yourself, can you think maybe of going to Russia, or is it just too dangerous because of this kind of sentencing he got and others are getting?
Well, I believe that at this moment I cannot go back to Russia, unfortunately, because we have three young kids, and if I go to Russia, I will be imprisoned, not because I'm someone important, not because the authorities are afraid of me as they are afraid of Vladimir, but because they would want to hold me hostage to put pressure on Vladimir. I cannot allow for this to happen. I cannot put my husband in this situation. So, and I cannot, I am his voice now. I try to continue his work. I don't want him to be left without my voice. And I don't want our kids to be left without both parents. So I cannot go back to Russia, but it does not mean that I will stop. I will continue my fight as I can for as long as it takes me to bring him back and to make sure that I put my small nail in the coffin of this regime.
Right. We've seen he also has British citizenship. We've seen sanctions, obviously, because of the war in Ukraine. Vladimir was very active in putting in place the so-called Magnitsky Act in the U.S., but also in dozens of other countries. Is this what you're trying to get? And are Western countries listening to you, or would you want them to do more and quicker?
I am calling on Western governments to adopt sanctions against those people who have been proven to have been implicated in gross human rights violations. But another part of my work is continuing being the voice of all those people who in Russia are being oppressed. And according to Memorial, Russia's most respected NGO that, of course, was banned along with any other organization that is involved in human rights, in protection of human rights in Russia. According to Memorial, the number of political prisoners in Russia is now 553 people, and that number continues to grow. And according to Memorial, the actual number is probably twice or thrice as high, but the center is using very strict criteria to determine someone as a political prisoner, and dozens of cases are still being reviewed. So I have to continue speaking on behalf of all these people that are facing political repression in Russia. And that is also my husband's work, has been my husband's work for many years. So I will continue doing that as well.
Right. In his words to the court that were leaked, he also expressed some hope. He said, yes, he still believes in a democratic, a free Russia. I quote him, "I also know that the day will come when the darkness over our country will dissipate. This day will come as inevitably as spring follows even the coldest winter." Obviously some words of hope. Do you share this hope, and is this likely on the horizon, or do you think the regime of Vladimir Putin is solidly entrenched and not likely to fall?
I do share my husband's belief, absolutely, because he's a historian. He's a Renaissance man, really. He's a filmmaker, a politician, a journalist, a historian. But as a historian, he knows how these processes work. He knows how history develops. Every dictator believes himself to be invincible until he falls. So it will happen with Vladimir Putin as well. But we can, it's not going to happen if we don't do anything to bring this day closer. Of course, everything must be done to weaken the regime, to make it collapse. And of course, the downfall of the regime will depend on a number of factors. And the first one is obviously Ukraine's victory in this war on Ukraine's terms. This will send a clear signal to the Kremlin that it will never be able to get away with committing those crimes any longer. The war is not meant to be won, it's meant to be continuous. This is the only thing he can do. As a KGB agent, the only thing he can build is the gulag. And this is exactly what he's doing, both in Russia, and he's trying to completely erase Ukraine from the face of the earth. So this is a very important factor. Another one is sanctions, both economic sanctions that would weaken the regime by making it costlier for it to continue warmonging, and targeted sanctions that would send a very clear message to the Kremlin that the free world knows where the real criminals are, and it will go after them. And the third factor, I believe, is support and solidarity with that part of Russian civil society that continues protesting both inside and outside of the country. And we're talking about thousands and thousands of people. And I believe that if we want to see Russia a democracy one day, we need to make sure that these people somehow survive this, because they are the ones who understand what is happening. They are the ones who are risking their freedom and very often their lives to show that they reject everything this regime represents. And they're going to be the ones to rebuild the country from scratch and make it into a democracy. And I believe that the only way for Russia to stop being a threat to itself and the world, the entire world, is for it to become a democracy. So everything should be done to make this regime collapse so that we can get a chance at building a democracy in our country.
Just as a conclusion, Evgenia, if you had a message for your husband, what would it be?
That I love him and I will stand by him always, and I love him and I want him back, and I will never stop fighting for him.
Evgenia Karamurza, I want to thank you very much for appearing here on the France 24 interview, and I want to thank you all for watching this edition. Stay tuned for more news.